The better you prepare means that you'll empower yourself to accomplish and achieve more. That preparation could be, well, the challenging, like a college education, can even be the simple, like proper nutrition. Now, regarding the latter, that simplicity is unfortunately an assumption for many families. There are thousands of children who, because of a variety of family and economical situations, have to start their day at home without a proper breakfast. On the positive side, school breakfast program in New Jersey offers a variety of benefits for these children if, that's the key word, if their schools participate and facilitate the program properly until to its full potential. Annual report reveals just how well schools are performing with this program. It's called Food for Thought, 5th Annual New Jersey School Breakfast Report. Our first guest this week is here to discuss the findings. She's the Executive Director of Advocates for Children of New Jersey, Cecilia Zalkin. Good morning, Cecilia.
Good morning.
And we can see the report in its detail, njschoolbreakfast.org, for the other projects of Advocates for Children of New Jersey. It's acnj.org. And, of course, we have links over to those two sites at our website, issuesandideasradio.com. And much like every report, Cecilia, there's good stuff and there's bad stuff. Let's start with the good stuff, though. As far as the school breakfast program in New Jersey, how overall is New Jersey schools faring?
Well, the good news is really good. We kicked off our campaign in 2011, and since that time, in the last 5 years, 100,000 more low-income children are eating breakfast every day. So we've increased participation by 75% and exceeded the goal we set for ourselves 5 years ago.
And if you look at some of the county-by-county numbers, you have, well, let's start with the stellar performance in the past year, Passaic County.
Yes, and that is due in great part to the Patterson School District, which when we started was serving, I think, around 16% of eligible kids and is now serving 93% of eligible kids. That's just an amazing story. And it's attributed to the great work that the district has done, but also some great advocates in Patterson that demonstrated to the district that this could be done.
And there are other schools in Passaic County, they actually had the 100% mark they hit.
Yes, they do. And I think, you know, we've made progress across the state. In some of the larger districts where the percentage of eligible children is high, it's been somewhat easier because they can serve all children. But we've seen progress across the state in every district.
Another standout county, Salem, went from number 17 to number 11. They're up to, I mean, obviously a lot of work to do, but 43% versus where they were is certainly a step in the right direction. On the negative side, you had, well, this is kind of curious. Maybe this plays into accessibility factors. Warren County, which a good part of it is a more rural area, they saw a sizable drop from number 8 to number 15. Is there any reason, any one or two specific reasons why a county school districts go the opposite way?
Well, you know, I think there are two issues. One is there are districts that perhaps have not stepped up and made the improvement. Looking at a small district like Mansfield, which is only serving 2% of eligible kids, Warren Hills Regional, 2%. So we still have schools in Warren County that have not stepped up to serve breakfast. But I think the other issue is as other counties and school districts move forward, they tend to outpace those counties that have not taken action.
You look at Bergen County, too. They stayed around the same mark, 19 last year, number 20 this year. But when you look at the number of schools in the school enrollment, and you have some schools like Bogota at 48%, Cliffside Park at 64%, Inglewood on the Palisades Charter School at 69%, Fairview at 81%. But then you counter that with Rochelle Park at 22% and South Hackensack at 28%. It doesn't take too many schools to create a negative county stat.
That's correct. I mean, looking again at Bergen County, the percentage of eligible children in many of these districts is high, and the actual serving rate is very low. So Fairview, 81% of kids in Fairview are eligible for school breakfast. Only 8% are receiving it. Lodi, 61% are eligible. Only 10% are receiving it. So these are districts that have a high eligibility and are not reaching the children they should. Garfield, 70% eligible, only 27% receiving breakfast. And I'm mentioning those higher eligibility rates because in those districts it's possible to serve all children. So it's not a question of just serving some children, because they have so much, such high eligibility, all children can be served.
Talking with Cecilia Zalkin from Advocates for Children of New Jersey about the 5th Annual Food for Thought New Jersey Breakfast Report, which you can see in its entirety, as well as your specific county at njschoolbreakfast.org. And the website for Advocates for Children of New Jersey is acnj.org. You are listening to Issues and Ideas. Bring up Sussex County, since it's the home turf of our studios, and you have number 19 this year versus number 18 last year. You have some standout schools like Montague serving 92% of eligible students, and you have on the flip side Sussex County Charter School for Tech serving only 2%. So, again, there's a wide disparity. And when you look at the schools that understand the program is there, and we've talked in the past, too, in prior years when these reports came out about the amount of money they leave on the table, because the money's already divvied up. It's just waiting for the school districts to come and be reimbursed for. But what are some of the misconceptions that schools have, especially with the breakfast after the bell concept, which has been really the key for the turnaround a lot of the school districts? But what are some of the misconceptions some of the school administrators have, thinking that, well, we'd like to, but we really don't know if it's going to work right for us?
Well, you know, I think that there are some common misperceptions about breakfast after the bell. One is that it would take too long, cut too much into instructional time, although the Commissioner of Education has issued a memo saying you can serve breakfast in the classroom and not have it count against instructional time. There's still worries that it'll take too long, that the delivery and, more important, the cleanup will be difficult. But I think once districts have embraced this, they discover that those issues really do not come up. It's very easy. It's a very simple process. Depending on the school, and some schools, custodians bring the breakfast packs up to the classrooms. Kids distribute them very quick. Yesterday we talked to a kindergarten teacher in Jersey City. She incorporates what they're going to talk about that day in class into breakfast. So she starts her teaching as the kids have their breakfast. For some older kids, we were at Eastside High School in Newark. The kids take on the distribution and cleanup of breakfast. And it really is much easier than people think. It can be done very quickly.
Just brought up Somerset County, last year number 9, this year number 8. And again, a wide range from Bound Brook with 80% of eligible students receiving breakfast down to Somerville with only 11%. And do you ever hear, too, in a specific county where schools turn to each other when they look at, let's use Somerset since I have that page in front of me, is it uncommon for Somerville, which is on the low end, to look at Bound Brook and tap them on the shoulder and say, hey, what are you doing that's getting that number right? Because maybe that's stuff we should be doing.
Well, you know, I can't speak to the relationship between Somerville and Bound Brook, but on a broader level, we've certainly seen that happen across the state, where school districts that have succeeded at school breakfast are really the best advocates for taking it to districts that are not doing as well. You know, in our first year of the report in 2011, the superintendent in Edison stepped up. Edison is not a high-needs district, but he decided he believed that all kids should have breakfast, and he made it happen. And he's been a wonderful advocate and spokesperson across the state. And he's just one example of leadership in a school district that reaches out to help another school district. It's very helpful if you have a superintendent who has doubts, or a principal, or a food service director, to connect them to someone in their peer group, so to speak, another food service director, principal, or supervisor, and connect and let them talk about how easy this is to do. And that's one of the things we've done in the campaign, is to try and make those connections across school districts.
So for parents and educators, administrators, and school board members, this is a report with a wealth of information and background information, side notes as well, that will help you understand the importance of the school breakfast program being presented to its fullest capability and extent. Food for Thought, 5th Annual New Jersey School Breakfast Reports. You can download it and find out your specific neck of the woods and how your school and schools around you are doing at njschoolbreakfast.org. And to learn more about the work of the Advocates for Children of New Jersey, acnj.org. She's our executive director, Cecilia Zalkin. Cecilia, as always, it's great to find out when things are going right in the state, especially when it comes to education and our kids. And this is a lot of steps in the right direction, albeit still more work to do. Thanks for always coming through with valuable information, for being here this morning.
Thank you very much.